Last week we went over contract verbs and did a lot of translations and stuff. Review. Okay, so for contract verbs, you know the basic concept, right? Of what's going on. You got a stem of a verb that ends in a vowel. And so when that runs into the connecting vowel, it causes funkiness to occur. The contraction is two verbs that don't sit well next to each other, and so they change in order to accommodate the ending that's being attached to them. This is the chart. So the lexical form that you'll learn for these words, so for agapao is the word that you memorize, that's the word that'll show up on your vocabulary stems, but you'll never actually use the word agapao. That's just to remind you yourself that this is a contract verb. The actual first person singular would be agapo, I love. But when you're looking it up in a dictionary, you look up agapao because it's a contract verb. You got that stem vowel, the alpha, in there. Same with poieo, never shows up in speech as poieo. It'll just show up as poio. What is poio? I do, I make. But if you're looking it up in the dictionary, it's poieo. And so what these columns do is show you what's happening without the contraction taking place. There's eo, the e runs into the iota, and then it disappears. Shortens to. Same with poiace, double epsilon, shortens to one epsilon instead of two. Like I said, it's more necessary to be able to recognize them than to be able to produce them. So most of these you don't have any trouble recognizing. They look just like their regular present tense stems. The ones that might trip you up are usually second and third person singular. The epsilon iota runs into things that contract weird sometimes. So, for example, agapa with the iota subscript. You look at that initially, and if you don't know that it's being used as a verb and that the noun would be an eta instead of an alpha, then you might think, oh, that's a noun, that's a dative noun, but it's not, because alpha is the verb stem ending, right? So stuff like that. Play Roy. Again, if you don't know your vocab, you might get tricked into thinking that that's a noun. A nominative plural noun, but it's not. It's a verb. So vocab becomes more important with contract verbs. But I think you understand the concept, though, right?
Yeah.
You can recognize them for the most part.
Yeah.
You might get caught off guard once in a while, and it's just practice at that point. Do you do any of the parsing and translations and stuff?
During the translations.
Okay. Well, we'll do the parsing. And actually, I picked out some parsing to do. The ones that I want to do. So, I'll go ahead and show the ones that we're not going to do. So, the number one, la lumen. Parse it for me.
Second person. No, it's on top. That's first person.
First person?
First person, plural.
Plural.
What is it? Tense would be.
So your example tenses would be present, imperfect, aorist, perfect. The only one we've learned so far is
present.
Present.
So present tense, indicative.
Indicative mood. And we've only learned one voice so far. And it, if you look at the ones that are
active.
Active, there you go. Yeah, present, active, indicative. So after this week, it'll get tougher because we're going to learn a second voice today, middle and passive. So you got to be able to recognize the difference between active and middle voice. But yeah, so first person plural, present, active, indicative, from la leo, which means I speak, I say. The contraction there, the men, whereas if this weren't a contract verb, it would be amen, right? But you still recognize the men ending.
Yeah.
That's first person plural. What about teiro, number three?
First singular, present, active, indicative.
First person singular, present, active, indicative, from?
Teiro.
It's a contract verb. So you know you got some vowel in there before the O, right?
Okay,
that's where you'd have to... You know how to use the glossary too, right?
You know how to what?
The glossary in your book. So you got the vocab list at the end of every chapter. But you also have, at the very back of the book, a whole bunch of different helpful things. But one of the helpful things is a glossary. It's a dictionary. It starts on 394. That's your dictionary. So any word that you come across in any of these exercises or anything, you can look it up. And it's good to get handy with a dictionary because as English speakers, we're always going to have to be going to a dictionary for some words. But if you go over to Tao, which is on page 412, and then you find Teiro, you see the circumflex over the omega, so you know, okay, wait a second, that's probably a contract verb. So Teiro, that's where you start with. And you see Tao, Eta, Rho, and... So what's the word? Teireo, meaning?
I keep or guard.
I keep or guard. Oop, and I forgot. I keep or guard. Right. Teireo.
I found the dictionary of his online.
So oh, okay. That's how you've been.
That's what I've been usually using.
That works too.
Yeah. And this is a little bit easier because I was like, wait for it. So about half the time the internet takes like 2 years. So.
What about number four?
Second person plural, present active indicative.
Second person plural, present active indicative from? Plerao, which means I fill, I complete. Plerao is an interesting word. It don't have a real good equivalent in English, so I fulfill, I complete is kind of what it means, but alright. What about number six? I got pa.
That is. Third person singular.
Third person singular, nice.
And then present active indicative.
Present active indicative from.
Agape.
Agape is the noun. What's the so the noun is love, right? What would be the verb form of it?
Agapeo.
Agapao, yeah. Good. Which means I love. That's another one of my pet peeves, by the way. When people talk about the different kinds of love, they'll usually talk about agape, they'll use the noun, and then they'll talk about phileo, which is the verb. So there's philos and agape, those are both nouns, and then there's phileo and agapao, which are both verbs. So which one are you doing?
A lot of people say agape love. It's kind of redundant because
it's the same word, yeah.
It's kind of like saying the Sahara Desert. Sahara means
desert. It means desert, yeah. Play Roy.
Okay, second. So, third person.
Third person, singular.
Present active indicative.
Present active indicative. From? We just had this one.
Play Ra'o.
Which means? I feel incomplete. Or I fulfill. I think fulfill is actually the best English equivalent. Daimonia.
Okay. So is that first person plural? Or is that a tricky one?
I think that's a good guess. First you gotta ask yourself, what is the word? What does it mean? I'll give you a hint, a clue as to why it'll trip you up. Is this a noun or a verb?
It's a what?
Is this a noun or a verb?
That would probably be a noun.
Yeah. You threw in the noun just to make sure to keep you on your toes. Okay, so now you know it's a noun. How would you be parsing it?
Nominative
is a good guess.
That's I, not AI. But if it's noun, it's going to be nominative. And you can just follow us.
So I think through your ha he ta, which endings could possibly end with an alpha?
Feminine,
nominative, singular, if it's an alpha pattern. What else?
Could be accusative plural.
What gender?
Neuter.
Or it could be, if it can be accusative plural and neuter, it can also be nominative plural and neuter, because they have the same ending, right?
Yeah.
So those are your three options. And then you have to know the vocab to tell which one it is. I let you know what the word it comes from is. Daimonion. So if you know that, daimonion is the noun. Omicron nu is the ending. Be nominative plural. It's a neuter. Daimonion, right? Think of ergon as your pattern noun. Ergon is your pattern noun for nominatives, right? Ha he ta ergon. It'll be either nominative or accusative plural.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you don't have a context to tell if it's a nominative or the accusative. Neuter because the word is neuter. Daimonion is a neuter noun. Gender doesn't change. And then, since it's not a verb, it doesn't have a voice or a mood.
I can see where that word means demon.
Yeah. Yeah, which means demon. Once you know it, you say, oh, okay, I'll remember that now. Yeah, that's a nice tricky one for you. Let's do a couple of translations, and then we'll get into a little bit behind. Let's do number 4. That's a good one. There's Epsilon. 2, 3, 4. Alright. Sound it out for me.
That's a ha.
Round number 4, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I guess I could kind of see how that, if you don't know anything, it might guess that it's hot, but I thought you were better than that. Page 176.
I just swore I wrote something down. I was like, well, I guess I didn't write anything down. Yeah, there we go. There's ready.
Okay. So number 4, sound it out for me.
Ugar.
Ugar.
Oidasin.
Oidasin.
T.
T.
Poyusin.
Poyusin, nice. Very well done. Ugar oidasin ti poyusin. Alright. Couple of things. First, you start out, do you have a nominative? See a noun in the nominative anywhere?
No
noun in the nominative. We got u, which means negation, right? Gar is one of those words that shows up as the second word. But it always translated as the first word. I forget what there's a technical term for that. But do you know what gar means?
No.
You can see that all over the place. So that's one that he's going to have right at the top. It means for, or therefore. Okay. All right. So I gave you those two. You do the rest.
Okay.
Since you don't have a noun in the nominative, where's your subject? It's in the verb, yeah.
Oh, verb, okay.
So it's in the verb. You got two verbs here. Do they have the same parsing?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're both probably referring to the subject. What is the parsing?
It is first person.
First person plural would be the we, right? So the ending would be men.
Okay.
So the men, luo, lues, lue, luamen, luete, lu.
You see, okay.
Luusen. Okay.
So third person plural.
Third person plural, which, so the subject is?
They.
Yeah. Okay, so for they, what's the first verb mean? You had it in your. You said you got it in the test, right?
To know.
There you go.
Oh, okay. So they know.
Yeah, for they know, but what does the u tell you?
It's don't. So they don't know.
So they don't know. He tells you what t means. What? And then poyusin. What is?
So they don't know what they know. Or no, this is probably not they know.
Christ.
Yes.
They know not what they're doing.
Christ does say this. This is one of your pattern verbs for. Granted, I don't give you a translation in there, but. Poieo. You want to look it up? Let's see if I can beat you. Not that I need to look up. So on page 410.
I do.
Yeah, okay. So then third person plural would be
they do.
They do, right? All right, so for they don't know what they do.
They do.
Okay. It's Christ's words, right? Forgive them for they don't know what they do.
Okay.
Let's do one more and then we'll get into the new material because we're going to be booking it through the new material. Let's do number 8. Should be a pretty good one. This is a nice one for recognizing names.
Alright. So,
Legay. Yeah, Legay.
Toe. That's a name.
Yeah. Simoni.
Simoni. Petro.
Petro. Who would you guess that is? Simon.
Peter. So Simon Peter.
Simoni Petro. Yeah, Simon Peter.
Ha. Jesus.
Ha Jesus. Simone, same over here, right?
Yeah.
Simone.
Ioannou. That's a complicated name.
Yeah. Ioannou, which is John. That's your name. That's how you write your name. In Greek.
Okay.
What's the last part?
Agaphas. Fos.
Yep. Pos. There you go.
And meh.
Alright. Lege to Simoni Petro Ha Jesus. Simon Ioannou. Agapas meh. Alright, so let's start with the first, up until the first punctuation mark. I'll let you know that's a chunk, okay? You got a noun and a nominative anywhere.
Let's see.
This might trip you up.
Is it Jesus?
Yes. How do you know that's in the nominative?
The article.
Article. Article clues you in. Otherwise, you might think that that's a plural accusative. But since you know Ha Jesus, that's a name. Noun and nominative. Good. So, Jesus is a subject. So, the Jesus. Lege to Simoni Petro. What's the verb?
Lego.
Lego, which means?
I speak.
I speak, I say, yeah. Parse it for me.
So, E-I, that's...
I always just... Luo luis lue, luam lue te luisi. Okay, luo luis lue. Okay, third one.
That's a verb. So that would be second person, not single.
Luo luis lue.
Third person.
Third person.
Singular.
Singular.
So that would be we.
That'd be first person plural.
They speak.
That'd be third person plural. That's the singular. So. What's the subject?
Jesus.
Jesus.
So it'd be Jesus speaks.
Yeah. So this would be third person singular. Would be he speaks. But since he tells you who the he is with the nominative. Jesus, you don't say he, you just say Jesus speaks. You want to be really wooden, you say Jesus, he speaks. But we don't do that.
Yeah.
So, alright, so yeah, Jesus speaks.
That's to, which is the.
Good. Parse the article for me.
That is. dative, either it's a singular.
Dative singular, good.
It's either masculine or neuter.
Either masculine or neuter. I give you a hint. Nouns are or names are always treated as a unit. So this whole name, Simone Petro, is all in the dative singular then. So what's your translation words for dative singulars?
Is it with?
With or to or in. And dative is one of those really loose ones.
Probably be to,
yeah. So, Hiesus lege to Simone Petro. What does that mean?
Jesus speaks to Simon Peter.
Jesus speaks to Simon Peter. Good. Jesus says to him. All right. What does he say?
Simon John.
Simon John. And this is where you got to know. This is just something you kind of know. Ioannou. All right. If you had to guess at parsing that, what would you guess that it is based on the ending?
So, genitive masculine,
singular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simon of John. That's how you would say Simon, son of John. Simon from John. Come from his house. So yeah, Simon, son of John. Agapas me.
So that's. I follow the alpha pattern.
It's a good guess. That's where you gotta know your vocab, right?
But that's a verb, not a noun.
That's a verb, yeah.
That's second person singular.
Second person singular, good.
So,
And me. So
you love?
Yeah, you love. What's me?
Me.
And then that's a question mark, right? So.
So it would be, do you love me?
Do you love me? Yeah, you kind of supply the do for English speakers. So yeah, so Simon, son of John, do you love me? So yeah, this is. Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Nice again. Lots of little stuff going on in there. Alright, we're going to fly through the new material because it's really easy. Since you already understand all this. voices in English. We went over active. That's the only one we've dealt with so far, right?
Yeah.
The subject is the one doing the verb. Alright. Example of this would be Bill hits the ball. Bill is the subject. He's doing the verb. Hits. The ball is receiving the action.
So we're doing passive then.
Passive is Bill is hit by the ball. Subject receives the action of the verb. Usually, you see the word by. You expect that prepositional phrase, by the something, in there, in English. That's just how we do it. In Greek, they do it by changing the ending.
Wait,
throw a different ending on
wait,
there.
Wait. Are those like carrot cake?
They're spice.
Pumpkin spice.
Are you looking out for me?
Yeah, I didn't know if I tasted it. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Nah, she made those, made these the other week.
Passive meaning is the same, right? So by the subject receives the action of the verb. Middle meaning is something in between. And the go-to example I have of this is the verb dress. Right? Something that the subject is the one receiving his own action. He dresses himself. It has kind of that connotation of something that you do to yourself. We don't really have a great way of expressing this in English. So middle is confusing a lot of times. For English speakers. It doesn't come up too often, though.
If somebody kills himself, then you would see.
Yeah, suicide would you usually express in the middle voice. Good example. The good news, though, is that in the present tense, at least, so the only tense we've dealt with so far, middle and passive verbs are formed the same way. They have the same endings. So you just use context to determine if it's middle or if it's passive. And so most of the time, you just look at it and say it's passive, and then if it seems like it makes sense that it'd be middle based on the verb, then you say, yeah, okay, sure, middle. The endings are these. So this is another one where just like luo, luis, lue, luam, luete, luisi, you just got to be able to roll it off your tongue. Same with this one. And I don't. This is my Saitai Methaseantai. I just learn it all as one big word, and then I remember where they stop. So my Saitai Methaseantai. I'm going to put it onto the luo stem so you can see it on an actual verb. Lua mai, lue, luetai. Lua metha, lueste, luantai. Look at the second person and tell me what you saw that was weird between those.
There's the mute subscript.
Yeah. The ending is technically sai. And you're going to want to remember that for future use. But in the present tense, it always contracts into lue. And the way that goes down is this. The intervocalic sigma. Big, long words. And all it means is sigma that's in between two vowels. Intervocalic sigma. So see how this breaks down. The ending psi will always be connected to a connecting vowel, either epsilon or omicron. Or actually, it will always be connected to epsilon because it's second person. So, luesai, that yields esa, and Greek doesn't like that. Sigma doesn't like being in between those two vowels. So, the sigma drops out, which leaves you with luei, and then you got...
Which also doesn't happen.
Also doesn't happen, so you got contraction. So then luei contracts to eta, lue, and then the iota subscripts because it doesn't like hanging out there at the end. So all of that going on yields lue as your pattern verb. The good news is if you just memorize this, my a tie, all of your second person endings, second person middle passive endings all end in a with an iota subscript. So that's luamai, lue, luetai, luamitha, lueste, luantai. And that's your middle passive ending. So, when you start parsing now, you'll have to, when you get to the tense column, you have to ask yourself, is this present tense or is this middle passive? Or excuse me, scratch that. When you get to the voice column, you have to say, is this active voice or is it middle passive? Still be present tense, because that's all we've learned so far.
And for second person, the clue to that would be mostly the...
The
other subscript on me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it wasn't already obvious. But.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know if this will help you, but for some reason, I think of Mormons and Methodists. So, my A tie, I think of Mormons wearing their go-to tie, right? My A tie. And then Methus, they untie. Methodists always untie their ties and throw it away. They're all loose and so, I don't know if that helps you. That's how I remembered it originally. My a tie and methos they untie.
Just trying to imagine a thought process.
Saying it over and over again eventually made me think of it. Couple last minute things. Deponent verbs. Again, something that can be very confusing, and it doesn't have to be. Just remember this definition. Verbs that have middle passive form, but active meaning. So they look like the middle passive, but they're not. They're active. And those you memorize by vocab. If they show up in your vocab as if they end in my in your vocab, that lets you know, oh, this is deponent verb. So erikamai is a crazy verb that causes every student of Greek grief because it shows up in so many different ways. But erikamai means I come, I go. It does not mean I come by or I go by. Or I was come by. It just doesn't. It's got an active meaning, even though it looks passive. And the way you know deponent verbs is vocab. You memorize it in your vocab.
Okay.
More things to layer on. Contract verbs obviously still happen in the middle passive, just like they do in the present. They follow the same rules, though. So if you remember the rules, the thing. And again, they're easy to recognize. If you look, my, tie, metha, ste, untie, even though you might not know exactly what's going on in the contraction right before that, in the oo, in the a, the oo, you can still figure it out. So again, being able to recognize them is more important than being able to produce them. That was really fast. But you all right with it?
Yeah.
So you know two different voice forms now, active and middle passive.
It helps that the verbs
it threw me off.
Same endings.
It's always
So you said you recognize what's happening in the middle. Pretty good. Unfortunately, there's so many ways that it can happen.
Yeah. Next week, I'm going to bring you the full verb paradigm chart so you can get a glance as to what it all looks like.
Did you say it was like 100?
Yeah, there's like 130 different ways you can form any verb. It's fun. You didn't know you could write the word luo in so many different ways to mean something minutely different. Vocab is follow syllabus. In particular, if you read, he does a good job of clarifying middle and passive and distinctive from active to get, you got to get those straight in your mind, what the different meanings are. Otherwise, it'll trip you up down the road. But that's it.